Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and happy New Year. Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and I know I always say the same thing, but I always mean it. We have a very, very interesting person that I want to introduce you to today. I think you're going to come back with a smile on your face and a smile in your heart after you hear this wonderful story from a wonderful, dynamic, energized woman that I have just had the pleasure of meeting recently. So for those of you, if you're joining me for the first time, I'd like to say welcome. And for all of you that are returning, I'd like to say once again, you are out for another wonderful show. Today, my guest is Leslie Irby, who is a trailblazer, innovator, speaker, and an avid traveler, which is one of the things that inspired her to become a pilot. She has been featured in Vogue magazine, New York Fashion Week, and on national news. This is just to name a few of her accomplishments. And we're going to get to the other ones, and you will be totally amazed. Today's interview is about her journey as the first African-American female paraplegic to earn her pilot's license. Yep, you heard me. All of those wonderful accomplishments. And at this time, it will be my pleasure. I could go on and on, but I'm going to just go ahead and bring her in so we can get this wonderful show going. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am so excited. You know, I love this show because I get to meet and interview some wonderful people. And when I'm this energized, the whole world has to know about these people that I find. And I found you on the internet. And as I said to you then, not only was I excited about having you on my radio show, you are going to be featured in my next book. And I am so excited because that is our common bond. We have aviation in common. And so at this time, yes, we do, don't we? And I also have to give a shout out because you are Delta, the Delta Sorority, correct?
Yes, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, yes.
All right. And I have a couple of friends that are Deltas, and I gave them the information to let them know about you. So hopefully they have been able to tune in. So with that, I'm going to be quiet for a moment and allow you to introduce yourself and give us some history. Tell us about your journey. You took your first flight when you were 16 years old. So it's all yours. The floor is yours. Please start.
All right. Well, once again, thank you so much for inviting me to your show this morning. It is a complete honor to be able to not only talk to you, but to now have you as a distant auntie, because it's something
yes.
about the love of aviation that just draws us all together that I absolutely love so much. So a little bit about me. I started flying airplanes when I was 16. I'm born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I live about 15 minutes from Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and I can hear the airplanes flying over my house day and night. And one day, I was just sitting outside, and I asked my dad, I don't know what those, you know, I know they're airplanes, but I don't know how they fly. I don't know who flies them. But I was like, I want to be one of those people. I just want to be up there in the clouds, far away from anybody else. It just felt like a sense of freedom being in the air. And he just said, okay, you know, we'll figure it out, you know, because, you know, teenagers, we don't really know what we want to do yet. You know, one day we want to be a pilot, next day a race car driver, who knows?
Right.
And the next day he came home with a poster, and it was of Bessie Coleman. And it read the quote, "The air is the only place free of prejudices." At 16, I didn't understand exactly what that meant, But I just knew I saw a representation of myself and said, that's what I want to be. So my mother actually found the program ACE here in Atlanta at Charlie Brown Airport. And that's where I got my first introductory flight. I fell in love day one. I don't know what it was about, you know, just taking off and landing, being in the air. It just, the feeling of freedom came over me. And
now, let me interject. Now, isn't the ACE program, my dear friend John Bailey, wasn't he involved in that program?
Yes, he was very instrumental and a key component of me falling in love with aviation more, because he was also a part, he is still a part of the ACE program, operated through OBAP, the Charlie Brown chapter.
Okay.
So he is very much so a big part of a lot of young African-American aviators finding their way through the aviation industry. So we must, you know, pay homage to him. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is an excellent program. John and I worked together with Delta Airlines, and he is definitely been a great source for me for my book, Stars in the Sky. He's always been available whenever I need him. And as a matter of fact, he is the one who brought us together. So
yes,
we do have to
yes.
give him a shout out, because he is just such a special person to me.
Yes. One call, that's all. You need something, that's the man to go to.
Right. So continue, please. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt, though.
Oh, no problem. So let's see. I started flying, and so they offer other programs throughout the summer. So they offer a program where aviators who are more, I guess, let's say, they've excelled in their summer program, they get offered a spot to fly a separate aircraft in their elite training program. I was also selected to be a part of that, where I was able to fly airplanes out of Falcon Field in Peachtree City. So that was also another experience that, you know, I am forever indebted to. It was an amazing experience even then. And but by the time I turned around 18, I think that was when I was really coming into myself as a young lady, and I didn't know if aviation was a thing for me. So I mm-hmm. went off to college, and I chose another career field. Not that I, you know, forgot about aviation, not that I didn't have aviation in my heart. I just wanted to try something different. Went off to college, went to the Fort Valley State University, and graduated with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, because I really felt like I wanted to do something more in the helping field. I wanted to actually become a homicide detective one day. It's something about gruesome murders and things like that that kind of intrigued me.
Wow.
So I really thought that that's what I wanted to do. But, you know, little old me, you know, kind of naive to the world at the time, I didn't know that I had to kind of go through the ranks. I thought that was just something I could apply for. And then
yeah.
wake up and say, all right, this is what I'm a homicide detective today. And they're just like, no, you have to go through the process. You have to be a street cop. You have to do a certain number of years. I'm like, I have to do what?
Yeah, right.
I don't want to do that. Like, no, I don't want
to
be out
it.
There to police. Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that at the time. So that also did not work out in my favor. So I actually ended up going back to school and got a master's degree in clinical rehab and mental health counseling, because
mm-hmm.
I looked at it this way. Well, if I can't solve the murder, maybe I can calm the hearts of the families of those who have endured it. So I
or help prevent it by counseling, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's true. So I kind of took that, you know, one occupation and turned it into another that I still felt like could all have a similar benefit from. And I did that for about 3 years. And one day I was sitting at my desk and I just felt completely burnt out. You know, one thing about people who work in a counseling field, they are truly underpaid and underappreciated.
Uh-huh.
And our caseloads can be upwards of 80 to 100 some odd people for one person. And that's almost impossible for you to actually have some form of a life and still try to take care of so many other people.
Exactly.
So I burned out immediately.
Okay.
And one day I just told myself, I'm going to quit. I don't have any backup plans. I'm just going to quit. And
that's
everybody
that free
was
spirit
like,
in you again.
Yes. Yes, I was born on February the 4th, so I'm an Aquarian, and
okay.
One thing about us, we go with the wind. Like, if the wind
very
blows,
fluid.
We like yes. that very much so.
Yes.
And I told myself that I'm gonna quit. You know, I don't really know what I'm going to do next, but I just know this isn't it. And life is very short, and I learned that after going through my own trials and tribulations of life, because in
yes.
2013, I was involved in a head-on car collision from a wrong-way driver, someone who was driving on the wrong side of the road, and my vehicle was actually traveling up a hill, and they were trying to get around a garbage truck and ended up going around really fast, hoping to beat it, and they met me in my car at the top of the hill. There were two
now, were you driving?
That day.
Were
no,
you driving?
I was actually a passenger. Nope, I was the passenger in the vehicle. And, you know, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, we were good Samaritans. Don't worry, but we were just riding down the road. And,
exactly.
you know, our lives changed instantly. You know, it can happen to anybody for any reason. You know, clearly, like I said, we weren't doing anything wrong. We were just, it was just our fate. You know, I truly believe that God does things for a reason. So it was supposed to happen that day, and it's just up to me to figure out why after the fact. And it was two fatalities, and I wasn't one of them. And so I had to, you know, just say thank you for the opportunity at life. Now I had to figure out what to do next, because you can allow certain things to define you, or you can choose to defy them and make something greater out of it. So I went with the latter half and chose to defy it. Told me, you know, you are now paralyzed and, you know, you're going to use a wheelchair. And the first thing that I told the doctors was, do you have a pink one? And
do you have a pink wheelchair?
I did. Everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
And
when they looked at you,
like,
they thought, now, this is the type of person that has a good frame of mind about this awful
yes.
situation that she's in. I love it.
Yes.
I love that.
They were so perplexed, and I'm just like, yeah, so if this is how I'm going to have to, you know, get around, can it at least look cute or something? Because
exactly.
I don't think I'm going to roll around and just anything. Like, because in my mind, if you think about it, you know, we really don't understand disability until it physically affects us.
Yes.
So I've never really been around people who have, you know, been in a wheelchair. So I didn't even understand truly how they roll, if anything. You know, in the common sense, you would think, you're like, oh, it's wheels, you just push it. But, you know, just being newly injured, you don't know that you have to push both hands at the same time versus maybe one at a time. It was just certain things I just never really processed. Because
yeah.
I was never in those shoes.
And well, you wouldn't.
When I became,
and it's the mechanisms. You know, we look
exactly.
at everything. Anything mastered looks easy. So when we see people
mm-hmm.
in wheelchairs, we don't stare, because that obviously is impolite to do. But you don't understand there is a mechanism. There is a way that you do and maneuver anything that functions as well as that the wheelchair
mm-hmm.
would have to.
Mm-hmm. And that was me. I did not understand in the beginning. But, you know, I'm not a fan of learning new things. Like I said before, I am a very faith-based person. So I was never in a place of anger to say, why me? Because I felt, I guess, bad to say, you know, other people lost their lives that day. I did not. So why should I be upset? You know, I had to take this opportunity to change a negative situation into a positive for me at this point. And that's kind of how I looked at it then, and I look at it now. So So I've completely turned tragedy to triumph in so many capacities, I would say, at this point, and I'm grateful for it. So going back to my hospital story, they completely probably thought I was crazy, if anything, because they said they had never heard that. They'd never heard of a person who wants a pink wheelchair, and they just found out that their spinal cord was broken. And I'm just like, I don't really care about that stuff. I'm living, I'm breathing. So, you know, spinal cord, we can get over it. But if I
what
have
a good
to
attitude.
Around,
that's amazing.
Pretty.
I mean,
so
but it, but you, as you said from the very beginning, though, you felt blessed because others had lost
mm-hmm.
their lives. And so
mm-hmm.
this was, you were blessed to be alive. And at that point, you had to understand why you were spared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was up to me at that point to really talk to God and figure out what my true mission in life was, because I was clearly unhappy with a lot of other things that I had going on. So if anything, I feel like this was a reset button. You know, I believe in the story of the phoenix, and I told myself that I am my own phoenix every now and then, because I feel like there was a lot of burdens on my life, a lot of things that I could have done differently, a lot of things
okay.
that I wish I had have done beforehand. And on that day, that was the day that I set myself ablaze. That was the day that I laid everything on the line, and I rose from it. So since
I love that you said reset. I love that.
Yes.
It's like you take stock of
yes.
what was important, what you thought was important, and what you now realize is important.
Yes. And I had to do that. And when I rose that day, I said, now I'm going to live. That is the only word that I have on my heart, is to live. And I will take every opportunity, every blessing, anything that comes my way. If it's truly for me, I will do it. And
exactly.
that's been my mindset since then, since 2013. And it has been 7 years. And I would say that every single year, something more amazing has happened. Like, I tell myself every year, well, how are you going to top last year? Because this is something about last year that I was so, you know, like, oh, I did this. Like, that was cool. But now it's like, you know, how are you going to beat that? And I kid you not, every single year, God has given me something greater and said, I got you. You told me, you know, because I had to sit there. You know, when you're in a hospital, sometimes you just have to sit by yourself and you just have nothing but time to think, you know, because you can't go anywhere. You know, people come and see you every now and then, but you're the one who's consistently sitting there laying in that bed every single night. So I had nothing but time just
to think and evaluate.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, your statement yeah. here, it says here that you said, my wheelchair is my blessing, and I have much more
yeah.
rocking and rolling to do. So as you were sitting
yeah.
there, that was one of the things that you were thinking, this is a blessing, but I'm going to continue to rock and roll.
Yes, yes. I had to just tell myself that I'm here for a reason. Now, what is it?
Yes.
What am I supposed to be doing in this wheelchair? Because clearly I've lived on both sides, you know, 22 years of on one, and now, you know, I started a new chapter at 23 as another. So now I can say I know what it feels like to be an able-bodied individual versus a person who's now differently able. And I'm okay either way. Like, I don't have a desire to, you know, figure out physical therapy every single day to make myself walk again. That's not my purpose. And there are a lot of people who are like myself who have been, you know, in catastrophic accidents, that's what their sole focus is, to figure out, you know, how do I get back to who I used to be?
Okay.
Versus telling yourself it's probably a reason why God is giving you a new start. Instead of me trying to return back to all the things that I felt like, you know, I had done wrong in life, you get a new start. You get to start over. So why?
And you know, one of your starts that you said I read about is that you were crowned Miss Wheelchair. Tell us about that
yes.
beauty pageant.
So in 2015, it was actually, it's actually kind of a funny story. In 2015, a friend of mine saw that there was she saw that there was a modeling contest. And, that's not what happened. Let me go backwards. So
okay.
I took some photos. I heard about that there was a pageant for women in wheelchairs. And I was like, you know, I think I'm kind of cute. You know, I think I can enter this. You know, I've never competed in any type of pageantry in my life. But I was like, you know what? What the hey? Let's go for it.
Yeah.
And so I competed and I actually won the title of Miss Wheelchair Georgia 2015. And I went on to the national pageant. And I placed first runner-up in that pageant, in a national pageant. So I was really excited about that. And then fast forward, there was a modeling contract. There was a modeling contest. And a friend of mine said, oh, you should enter. She's like, you need some headshots and a full body shot. And I'm just like, I don't have that. And she was like, well, what if we just take a picture of you and, like, crop your face out? And we'll just, like, call it a headshot. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. So, you know, I just so happened to have a picture of me with, like, full makeup on, and we cut the top of my head off so we could just be my face, and then I had a picture of me. I was at a hotel, but I was sitting on the bed, but I just so it happens to be my full body. So I was like, well, we're just going to send this in and see what happens, and it was the most jankiest entry I've ever seen in my life, but I won. Somehow, so I don't know if the company was a little janky too, or they just really saw the potential in what I could have been. Because none of those pictures were professional. They were definitely
no. They saw the beauty. They saw the inward beauty and the outward beauty. You know, the switchboard is all lit up. I want to put a pause for a second and bring in a caller just to give them the opportunity, and then we're going to move forward. But just to have a little pause and give this caller a moment to say something to you, okay?
Okay,
so let's
no
bring
problem.
A caller in. And I know that they are really interested in us continuing on with your story, which I am so excited. Hello, good morning, caller. Would you like to make a comment, or are you just enjoying the show today? Hello? Okay. Hello? Okay,
hello.
I'm sorry. Is there someone there?
Yes.
Oh,
good
hi.
Morning.
Good morning, caller. Would you like
wonderful.
To make a comment, or are you just enjoying the show?
I'm enjoying it, but I want to say what a wonderful, wonderful young lady. It's just making my heart full with love and joy just listening. I'm so proud
Thank you.
Of you. You are an aspiration to many.
Thank
and
you.
And I just want to take my hat off to you and say continue on the road that you're going, because you're going to, the sky's the limit for you.
Would you like to comment, Leslie?
No, just thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I am I'm just a person doing that work, and I'm truly grateful for it. And I'm very happy that you're here today. You know, God placed you here to listen to the story. So whatever you're doing in your life, continue to do that as well. And just have a very blessed new year, because I truly feel that we are embarking on an amazing journey that we'll all go through together. And I'm just so happy that you're here today to listen to my part of it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I was invited. Thank you so much. And I will definitely be watching and listening out for you.
Yes,
well,
please
continue to listen to the rest of the show. And I'm now going to bring on another caller and see if they want to make a comment. If not, we're going to go from here into you're obtaining your pilot's license, which is, I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. So let me just see if this person would like to make a comment or if they just want to continue to listen, because the switchboard is really lit up, and I just wanted to be able to get a few callers in. So once again, good morning. This is Casey Grant. This is the Fly Girl Show. Are you enjoying our show today?
Yes. Casey, can you hear me?
I can hear you,
hello?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Hello,
hi.
Hello, and good morning. Would you like to make a comment?
I have several comments, but I'll be quick. My name is Rhonda, and I'm loving the show. Leslie, you are an amazing young lady working in the school system with kids and things of that sort. Just to hear your story, that should be something that if you have not embarked on doing that, something that you should really consider doing, because kids need to hear your positive outlook on life and all of that. But one of the things I also wanted to share with you is that I love the idea that when you told your father that, and you know, so many of our students who may not have a positive influence in their life, you just mentioned to your father when you were younger, like listening to the planes and saying, I want to do that. And then he comes and, you know, pretty much the next day or whatever and tell you, here, I found this, you know, this program. And you just, I mean, that's just so wonderful to have someone in your life to be able to be positive like that. Your story is amazing. I want to hear all of it. And I don't want to take much more time, but you're an amazing young lady. And I just love tragedy to triumph. Seriously, have you already gotten a book out? Because I know that if you don't, you're going to be putting one out, right?
If I had a penny for every person who asked me that question, I would be a pennionaire today, for sure.
But what did your auntie tell you?
My Aunt Casey said, we are going to make that happen, because I have been praying about, and the thing about a book for me, every single year, like I said before, something more happens to me. And I'm like, dang, if I had wrote this book last year, they would have missed this part of it. But it's like I have to just stop and say, like, okay, if I make a book, maybe I could give it to you in a three-part series, because every year something else is added. But I always feel like I'm shorting my readers, if ever, because they might miss what happened the year before. Because at year five, I told myself, I'm going to write a book for my five-year anniversary. But more amazing things happened in 6, 7, 8, you know, in 6 and 7. And I'm like, dang, if I had wrote the book last year, you would have missed this great addition. So
Leslie, the thing I would say is that 30, you know, with you turning 30, and that's been 7 years since this accident has happened, that's a good turning point to be able to start. And then you can have, you've heard of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and they have a zillion books. In the next 5 years, you can talk about your other things when you turn 35 and so on, because it's a very interesting story, and I'm so glad that it's still positive and you are moving on with your life. And I'm going to stop talking now. I'm loving the story. Thank you, Casey. Good interview. You are an amazing young lady. Thank you, caller.
And we're going to, I love that. Leslie, this is wonderful. I'm so glad that I picked her out of all the people that have been, the switchboard is all lit up, as I said. But I love her energy, our caller, to be able to come in, and you are amazing. So with that, let's move on to this next wonderful phase in your life. So you've done the beauty contest, you've done... Now, what was Vogue? What did you do with Vogue?
So I ended up, after the contest, a lady had saw my photos and I guess fell in love with me. And she was a fashion designer out of India, called the lady who had picked me for her modeling contest and said, can you send this girl to New York in 2 weeks? And I'll have an outfit that I'm going to make for her, because I want her in my show.
Really?
And I'm just like, how in the world is this happening to me? You know, I have zero modeling experience. I have absolute zero runway experience. But in 2 weeks, I am going to be flying my way to New York City to be in a fashion show. And I did it. And it kind of went viral, because that was one of the first years that women who were differently able were included in Fashion Week. So alongside of me, there were models like Madeline Stewart, who was the first model with Down syndrome.
Okay.
And two other ladies who are both amputee. One of their arms have been amputated, or they have been, or they were born without a limb. Both of them were also in that show. So this entire show featured people who were differently able to show that beauty is inclusive. And it was an
absolutely
amazing show.
Absolutely.
And
beauty,
so
as I said before,
to be a part of it.
Exactly. And beauty is outside as well as inside, and you definitely.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that my audience is feeling all of it, because that is how and why I got so excited about wanting to have you on the show, which we did within a couple of days of being able to bring you on.
Yes.
The Fly Girl show. So with that, I'm turning it back over to you, and I want you now to tell us how you started and how you researched and was able to obtain your pilot's license. So the floor is yours again.
All right. So me and my sister are avid travelers. She's like my travel buddy. You know, me and her, we're thick as thieves. We're a year apart. You know, most people think we're twins anyway, but we're not. We try to do a sister's trip every 2 to 3 years, just find somewhere in the world to go together and just, you know, enjoy ourselves, just the two of us. And so in 2019, we decided to go to France. Well, not just France. We just decided to go to Europe. And a part of that trip was France for us, because I'm a Disney person. I love Disney. I have a goal of visiting every Disney park in the country. So I still have to visit Tokyo and Shanghai. But
okay.
Our goal was to go to Disneyland Paris that year.
Okay.
And on a flight to France, I said, you know what? I want to fly the plane. Why can't I fly the plane? You know, I know what they're doing up there. She was not allowed to get her pilot's license in the United States. She actually got her pilot's license in France.
Absolutely.
So
she's featured in Stars in the Sky. Yes.
Yes. So on that flight to France, she was the only thing that was on my mind. And I said, I have to finish this dream. I started it. I have to finish this. So when I got back home, I had an amazing time, by the way, in Europe. They're so great. The people who are differently able, they were just the nicest people. If I could live in London for a couple years, I probably would.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I got back home. Yes, I love London. Oh, my goodness. That's a whole other show, because me and
okay,
London
okay.
are, I love it there.
We
so
can do
we
it.
We came
yes.
back, and I just got on Google. You know, Google is the search engine of the world. If you want to find something, Google it.
Exactly.
Got on Google, and I just looked up differently abled programs for people who want to fly. The first thing that popped up was a program called Able Flight. And Able Flight's mission is people who are differently able to obtain their pilot's license. I applied for the program, and I was accepted. I was super excited to be a part of it. The program is a 7-week intensive program at Purdue University. We flew day and night. My mornings were, I woke up around 6, 7 o'clock every single morning. I had ground school. I had morning flights, afternoon flights, evening flights, and plenty of study halls in between every single day. There was no days off. You couldn't leave. The only time you really kind of got a day off was if it was bad weather, which kind of worked out because Indiana is super rainy and they're really good for storms. So there were plenty of summer storms that gave me a couple of days, but the days where there were rain, they were studying. And our program
okay.
started off with 10 people total. It was 8 males and 2 females. And maybe a week into it, the other female left. She wasn't able, I guess, to keep up. And so it was just like me and the guys, you know, just being the Lone Ranger. And not only did I know that, you know, not only being the only girl, I was the only Black female there as well. So I had to represent, not just
you
for,
do.
You know,
realize
my,
that. Yes.
my Black
you
girls,
did have to. Yes.
But I had to represent for all African-Americans, period. And I did just that. You know, if you're going to be the only female in the room, I'm not going to be the one in the background. I'm going to lead from the front. You're going to know that I'm in the room.
Absolutely.
So I made sure that everything I did was to the absolute best of my ability. Every single thing, the guys would come to me. Well, hey, Leslie, can you help me, you know, understand these concepts a little better? Can you help me do this? Like, I was the one, you know, everybody leaned on for assistance because I was the leader of the room. And I didn't have a problem with that because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, men need us anyway to function. So,
absolutely.
You know, what else are women for?
So, absolutely.
June 28th, 2019 was my check ride. And a check ride is when you and an examiner go up and you perform flight maneuvers and you also do a written exam and you also have to do an oral exam. And after I completed all three, I was awarded my pilot's license. At the time, I had an idea of what it was on a bigger scale, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't know if I was actually the first person to do it, but I knew from what I had seen that I was probably the first person. So I went back to Atlanta, and an historian, who I guess is an aviation historian, had made a post one day and said, do you know that you're the first woman with a disability to receive a pilot's license? And I was like, no, I had seen, because there are other Caucasian women who had done it, but they're like, oh, no, you're the first African-American one. So you're in a category of your own. Like, yeah, it's other people who've done it, you know, similarly, but you, my dear, are in your own category. You are your own number one. And any other brown girl who comes after you is now in the shadow of your greatness. And I looked at that because I always told myself I am the shadow of Bessie Coleman's greatness. So now I am also someone that young girls can read about and look up to and say, Mommy, I want to be like her. Because I say the same thing all the time. Representation matters.
Absolutely.
And one thing about us, we don't see a lot of us, our colored girls, in high roles and in positions. You know, we only look at Black History Month to pay homage to people like ourselves versus you look at the Alexander Hamiltons and the Washingtons. Like, you hear about them all the time in American history, but they limit us. But truth be told, we are all a part of history, so we should be included in those same conversations and stories as you would of a founding father.
Absolutely,
you should know Bessie Coleman in your history books. You know, the only person they usually mention is Amelia Earhart, but she's not the only one, and she's not the first.
Absolutely.
So representation truly matters.
Absolutely.
So I am hoping that one day, you know, we can talk to Hill, McGraw, Science, you know, the textbook companies, and we can get this inclusion truly included in these books.
Absolutely. I'm glad you shared that story about you being the first, because that was one of the things. I didn't want to stop you because the story was so good, but I did want to understand, or I wanted you to tell the audience exactly when you realized or when you became aware that you were the very first African-American. And I love that story. You know, being a pioneer, that puts a lot of weight on your shoulder. And as you said, you realized, number one, just being the woman, the Black woman in the class, the only female in the class at that point to try to continue on trying to get your pilot's license, and you realize then that you knew then you had to be better, and you were, obviously, if they were coming to you to ask you questions, but then to step out of that, and it was an accomplishment that you wanted. It was a self-fulfilled accomplishment, and then for you to come. Realize that you were the pioneer in aviation, in that particular field in aviation. And you're right, Betsy Coleman is smiling on you, my dear, because you also broke the ceiling, the glass ceiling for your category, and I don't know if that's the proper word to use, but I love the way you say differently abled. Now, is that the correct, politically correct way to say now we're saying for disabled, or is this your own term that you've come up with, differently abled?
It's my term. So I think the word disabled is a false representation of people, because if you think about it, if you can, you know, if the callers in the room, how many of you are pilots? And to say that you're disabled, to say that means that you are not able. But clearly, I am able to do a lot of things. So
sky is the limit for you.
It's a matter of changing one's outlook. You know, one word can truly manifest a person's mindset. And so I don't look at myself as being not able. I just do it differently. So
I absolutely
say that I'm differently
love it.
Able is
I
the
love
way that,
that
I see it.
And I love that term. And I think that, you know, we're going to get that to be one of the most referred to term for people who we now just say disabled. We're going to say, no, I'm just different. I'm disabled in a different way. But I am truly capable. I am truly able. So now you've got your sports license. Because that's what it's called, right? I correct in that. It's the sports license.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. That is okay. And then now your next accomplishment that that you are going to investigate is becoming a instructor. Now, give us the ins and outs on that. I knew the show, we need 2 hours for this because we're going into, you'll wrap the show up with this. Your next accomplishment is to become a flight instructor. Is that correct?
Yes. So I still have to go through a couple more licenses. So I will receive my private pilots, and then I will work on my instrument rating, and then I will work on my commercial rating.
Okay.
And once I've achieved all three of those, at that point, then I can become an instructor. My ultimate goal is to be an aircraft owner of my own and be able to fly differently abled children around and introduce and give the opportunity of flight to them as well. Like I said, I really feel like representation matters. So if people are able to see me, then they can also feel like, oh, I'm in a wheelchair. I didn't know I can do this, but I see her doing it, so now I want to do it.
Now,
so
let me ask you this,
like,
and I don't think we addressed this. You said you found a company that taught, and that's where you got your pilot's license. But tell us what it entails. What did it entail for you to learn how to fly, the mechanisms of it?
Okay, so there is a plane called the Sky Aero 600, and it is a light sport aircraft, and the rudders on the aircraft are adaptive. So typically you use your feet to push the rudder pedals left or right, depending on, you know, the ailerons that need additional support. So you would push use your feet for the rudders. But on these particular aircrafts, there was a handlebar called a T-handle. And the T-handle, if you turn it left or you turn it right, that controls the rudder pedals for me. So basically, I use hand controls to control the rudder pedals.
Okay.
And that's basically how I'm able to fly that particular aircraft. So now transitioning into other types of aircraft, I use different FAA-approved hand controls that I also affix onto the rudder pedals, and that's how I move them left to right.
Okay. I wanted that point to be made perfectly clear, because I'm sure people are going, well, how does she do it? We know she's able,
but
how does she do
pedals.
That?
Yeah, it's the rudder pedals. I mean, you can use the yoke, you know, with my hands, but the rudder pedals are what I'm using, hand controls to control for the most part.
And one more question I want some a clarification on. When you become a flight instructor, because we know that you are going to become a flight instructor, will you be able, will you just be an instructor to differently disabled people, or will you be able to become an instructor to all flight pilots?
It will be all pilots, but my focus is always going to be on the underrepresented group of people. But absolutely, I mean, anybody can fly. Even now, you know, if I go rent an airplane right now, I mean, anybody, we can go up together and have a great time. But I want to make it very open for like myself, because those, you know, any, if you're able-bodied, you know, you can go to any flight school, you know, and get on and you'll be fine. But to fly an adaptive aircraft, there aren't many instructors, for one, who understand adaptive aircraft. And so for me, being one of those instructors, it'll be a lot easier for them to actually obtain their pilot's license also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell you, if there's anything that we can do, if I can do to help promote this for you, you know Auntie's going to do it. If there's anything that I can do to brainstorm with you on some of these ideas, because as you were talking, my mind is running, and I'm thinking, you know, Betsy Coleman's goal was to open up an aviation school before her untimely death. And I think at this point, you may want to even, and I'm sure you've been dreaming, maybe you might even open up your own school.
That would be amazing. That would be a goal of mine, that if with the right, you know, amount of support and people, you know, behind me and funding, because that's the main thing, you know, trying to fund something, like to buy an aircraft. Well, one, to be an aircraft owner in general, but to have the right amount of love and support behind me to do something like that would be astronomical.
Awesome. But I think that's what we have to do. I think you have to, you know, what people don't know, people don't even have an idea, the fandom. That was one of the things but my mission for my book, Stars in the Sky. That is my mission. It's about getting the black flight attendants' accomplishments of breaking the color barrier known to the world. Because people just, if you don't see it, you don't think about it. And so that is my mission. And I think that once you expose the world to you, your differently disabled, differently disability, I think that people will open up and go, that's an excellent idea. Because it has nothing to do with, as you said, your ability. It is just a different way of exercising or displaying your disability. And I'm fascinated by you.
Thank you.
And you will go far. And I, as my book, you will go beyond the stars. You will. Yes. It's nothing to stop you.
Yes. I always say, you know, when people say the sky's the limit, I say that for me, I've already passed it because I've already been up there. So clearly, the sky can't be the limit. I'm, you know, we're going into outer space at this point. You know,
Absolutely. There's
nothing I feel like can stop me. You know,
I agree with you. And the sky is really your floor. It's not your ceiling. It's not your ceiling.
Yes.
It's your floor. Yes. So now let me I want you to tell the audience one more thing before we go. You also have just started a new business. Now you left the corporate world. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
I did.
You now have opened up your own business. Please tell us about that in the Atlanta area, correct?
Yes, so I am a serial entrepreneur, and I probably will be forever. And I love hair. I love natural hair. So I have what they call sister locks, which is a systematic form of dreadlocks for African, created by an African American woman for women. And I started my own hair salon. So in October of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, I decided to open one. And I have been so blessed in my 3 months of operation to have almost a clientele of 20 women already, and we are vastly growing. And I absolutely love it. I am looking to probably one day expand that as well, because I truly feel like at this point, everything you want to do in life can be funded by something else. So by opening this hair salon, one day, if I make, you know, a lot of money from it, that can go toward funding this flight school. You know, take one dream and filter it into your next. You know, there's no point in going into debt over, you know, different types of things. So I'm going to work as hard as I can, save as much as I can, and then funnel it into my next goal and my next dream and my next vision, and just keep going from there until the day, you know, God takes me home. I truly want to say that whatever contributions I made on earth, that they will too be remembered. So that's my ultimate goal.
Well, you know, as you were saying this, and I can – now, do you have a pink wheelchair? Did you get your pink wheelchair?
I did. I got my very first wheelchair was pink and zebra, and it was just as tacky as it wanted to be. And, oh, it was horrifying. It was pink. It was hot. It was hot pink, glitter, and zebra. And
oh, my goodness.
After a year, and I said, what in the world was I thinking? Like, this is
oh,
tacky.
That is Well, I was going to say, you know, I love to bedazzle everything, and I was going to say that's what my friends would say to me. You had the wheelchair that somebody would look at me and say, that's you, Cassandra, for sure, because animal print is my signature, and the bedazzling, all the sparkles is definitely my trademark, too. So you kind of display what I would have said, ooh, that is really sharp. But I am just so pleased. We're going to – I hate to say it, but we're almost out of time. And I know we could go on and on and on, because you are absolutely positively have put a smile on my face and in my heart.
Thank
you. I know
so
the
much.
Audience, they are smiling. And I'm so sorry for those that I wasn't able to get to bring on. But hopefully you were just calling in to listen, because the switchboard definitely is all sparkly. Looks like a Christmas tree. And I'm glad, though, because we know now that your dream, your vision, the introduction of who you are has been introduced to the world. And this show is listened to people in Africa, in England, in Ireland. I have people who have tuned in all over the world. So you are well known now. You will be even more so after the release of this radio show. But I must say, my little darling, my new niece, I am so thrilled to have found you, can't wait to meet you in person, and you're just an inspiration. You're an inspiration to all of us.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you so much for, one, having me on today, and I also want to thank every single person who tuned in to listen to my story. I truly pray all the words that came out of my mouth today will also resonate in your heart to go out and continue to be great in all things that you do. Any type of self-doubt that you have, I pray that it all goes away from you, and just live life to the fullest. Don't worry about, you know, the what ifs and, you know, things like that. Just live, because you never know. Like, 2020 has taught us all that life is short. So at this point, just live. Everything that's supposed to happen will happen, and everything will fall in place for you. If you too believe in yourself, don't worry about other people. Just believe in yourself, and all things too shall pass that are not meant for you. So I leave you all with those amazing words, and I just truly pray that we all have an amazing year.
I love it. And we will, your book is going to come out, and guess what? We are going to have you back ever so often so we can just kind of keep up with all of your wonderful accomplishments, because you truly are an inspiration to all of us. And I thank you so much for being my guest today. And you and I will talk real soon. But with that, I'm going to release you and let you go and go on about your busy day. But I thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you again for having me. And thank you all listeners for tuning in today. Be blessed.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. If you don't walk away from this radio show with a smile on your face and inspiration in your heart, you weren't listening to this wonderful lady. Leslie is just, I keep smiling and smiling ever since the first day that I found her. So did I give you what I told you I was going to give you? Did I tell you this was going to be a show that you did not want to miss? I think I lived up to those words. I encourage you to please tune in again Wednesday. My normal show is 11 Central Standard Time, but always check my website because you never know when I find someone that I think is so interesting that I would create a show in the middle of the week or on a weekend. So please stay tuned. Please sign up, become part of my mailing list to keep you in tune as to what's happening and where we're going and what I'm doing. So once again, I will be tuning off to you. This is Casey Grant, and I am the host and producer, I'm proud to say, of the Fly Girl Show. So for those, I will say Happy New Year once again. Please stay tuned. Please join me again for another wonderful, wonderful show. And with that, I am going to say goodbye.